The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I will be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, November 28th through Sunday, December the 4th. The commentary for this week and all of November was written by Todd Haig, an English teacher, husband, father, and sports enthusiast who also loves literature and travel. His family attends Christ Episcopal Church in Tyler, Texas. Now, the commentary beginning December 1st and for the rest of the month of December was written by Sally Sisler, born and raised in West Virginia. After a long career in marketing and communication, she answered the call to ordained ministry and serves at a rural Episcopal church in southern Ohio. She and her husband, a retired judge and deacon, have two sons and four grandchildren. We begin with the commentary for Monday, November 28th, and it begins with a passage from the book of Isaiah, chapter 1, verse 11. What to me is the multitude of your sacrifices, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of goats. And the commentary for this day. There is a passage in Homer's Odyssey where Odysseus's men act in direct opposition to the will of the gods. They choose to kill and eat the sacred cattle belonging to Helios, the sun god. To cover their crime, they plan to offer a sacrifice of the best of the cattle, as though giving back to the god what was already his would allay his wrath. Scripture teaches us that obedience is better than sacrifice. Nothing good in our lives, peace, health, relationships, even tangible wealth, is truly our own. We are entitled to nothing. These blessings are ultimately divine gifts, and while we should hold them loosely, we do God no favors, earn no credits by offering back what is already truly God's. The one gift I have to offer is my obedience, freely asked for and freely given. And now I'm going to read from this passage for today. It's from Isaiah chapter 1, verses 10 through 20. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the teaching of our God, you people of Gomorrah. What to me is the multitude of your sacrifices, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of goats. When you come to appear before me, who asked this from your hand? Trample my courts no more. Bringing offerings is futile. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath and calling of convocation, I cannot endure solemn assemblies with iniquity. Your new moons and your appointed festivals my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you stretch out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, remove the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, rescue the oppressed, defend the orphan, plead for the widow. Come now, let us argue it out, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be like snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And the moving forward question for this Monday is, what gifts of obedience do you bring this Advent season? The commentary for Tuesday, November 29th, begins with a passage from Psalms chapter 6, verses 6 through 7. I grow weary because of my groaning. Every night I drench my bed and flood my couch with tears. My eyes are wasted with grief and worn away because of all my enemies. Grief and fear are exhausting. The experience of mourning a loss or laboring under the weight of sadness works its way into our dreams and awakens us in the night. Sometimes our restless prayers become dreams themselves, and we pass the night in anxiety. But like the psalmist, we can find a semblance of peace in a dialogue with God. We can invite Christ into our suffering. We can share our troubles with Him. We can find safety, security, and solace in His presence. As the passage ends, the psalmist assures us that our prayers are heard. We won't be left alone in our pain. This Advent season, let us invite Christ into our suffering. Let us wait for the hope that the morning brings. And now I'm going to read the entire Psalm 6, which begins, O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger, or discipline me in your wrath. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am languishing. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are shaking with terror. My soul also is struck with terror, while you, O Lord, how long? Turn, O Lord, save my life. Deliver me for the sake of your steadfast love. For in death there is no remembrance of you. In Sheol, who can give you praise? I am weary with my moaning. Every night I flood my bed with tears. I drench my couch with my weeping. My eyes waste away because of grief. They grow weak because of all my foes. Depart from me, all you workers of evil, for the Lord has heard the sound of my weeping. The Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord accepts my prayer. All my enemies shall be ashamed and struck with terror. They shall turn back and in a moment be put to shame. And the moving forward question for this day is, are you restless with grief and fear? Take comfort in your constant companion, Christ our Lord and Savior. And now let's take a look at the commentary for Wednesday, November 30th, which, by the way, is the feast day of St. Andrew the Apostle. We'll begin with a passage from the book of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 20 through 22. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. All of us know the pressures that family can bring. What church to attend, what trade to follow, where to spend the holidays. Even in our day, when families are more disconnected than ever, navigating these relationships can be immensely difficult. How much more so for James and John? Did their father understand the vision? Was he bitter toward Jesus for taking his sons and toward his sons for leaving? How do we choose to follow Christ amidst the pressures and expectations of family and culture? And how do we allow others to do the same? We must be prepared to die to expectations, even when it means disappointing others. We must also be prepared to be disappointed. We must be willing to relinquish our expectations of those we love amid their attempts to discern Christ's call. And now I'll read from the passage of Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 22. And this is under the title of Jesus Calling the First Disciples. As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called to them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And the moving forward question for this day is, what expectations can you let die so that you might live more fully in Christ? The commentary for this day, Thursday, the first day of December, is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 20, verses 29 through 33a. Now there were seven brothers, the first married and died childless. Then the second and the third married her, and so in the same way all seven died childless. Finally the woman also died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? I grew up in rural West Virginia. Who was married to whom was important information and often a part of family conversation. When it came to extended family, second and third cousins once removed mattered. This conversation between the Sadducees and Jesus isn't a friendly family discussion. The Sadducees don't believe in a resurrection of the body, so they use ridiculous rhetorical questions to try to trick Jesus into failing to interpret the Jewish law correctly. But Jesus knows the heart of God, and his answer expands on the law by reminding them that God is the God of the living. The Sadducees are impressed and speechless. God answers our rhetorical questions in surprising ways when we listen and we pay attention. And now I'm going to read from the full scripture for today, which is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 20, verses 27 through 40. The title of this particular section is The Question About the Resurrection. Some Sadducees, those who say there is no resurrection, came to him and asked him a question. "Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, leaving a wife but no children, the man shall marry the widow and raise up children for his brother. Now there were seven brothers, the first married and died childless. Then the second and the third married her. And so in the same way all seven died childless. Finally the woman also died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? For the seven had married her." Well, Jesus said to them, "Those who belong to this age marry and are given in marriage. But those who are considered worthy of a place in that age and in the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. Indeed, they cannot die any more, because they are like angels and are children of God, being children of the resurrection. And the fact that the dead are raised, Moses himself showed in the story about the bush, where he speaks of the Lord as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now he is God not of the dead, but of the living, for to him all of them are alive. Then some of the scribes answered, Teacher, you have spoken well, for they no longer dared to ask him any other questions. And the Forward Movement question for us on this day is, what ridiculous requests have you made of Jesus? And how has Jesus responded? And now let's turn to the commentary for Friday, December 2nd. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, verses 3 and 4. Jesus said, Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them, for all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty has put in all that she had to live on. Our small rural congregation had to demolish our ancient parish house before it collapsed. It was a painful experience for many. We decided to rebuild, but the soil composition was poor, and a new building equal to the old was out of our price range. We prayed, discussed, and prayed some more. As one member said, we can't build what we want, but we can build what we can afford. We're not a wealthy congregation, but we committed to rebuilding. The day after we made the decision, the treasurer called to say an anonymous donor had contributed $25,000. I was stunned and tearful. We could do this. Later, the donor approached me, and I was shocked. This person literally gave out of their poverty, like the widow Jesus describes. Our new building opened in June. We've learned a lot over the past few years about intentional giving from that first example. And now I'm going to read the full passage for this day. It's from Luke chapter 20, verse 41 through chapter 21, verse 4. Then he said to them, How can they say that the Messiah is David's son? For David himself says in the book of Psalms, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. David thus calls him Lord, so how can he be his son? In the hearing of all the people, he said to the disciples, Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and love to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at the banquets. They devour widows' houses, and for the sake of appearance say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation. And then the story of the widow's offering. He looked up and saw rich people putting their gifts into the treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two small copper coins. He said, Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them, for all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty has put in all she had to live on. And the moving forward question for this day is, how can you be more intentional in giving to the church? The commentary for Saturday, December 3rd begins with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, verses 16 through 19. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name. But not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance you will gain your souls. And the commentary for this day, betrayal by a loved one, there's nothing worse. And yet I listen as a spouse shares their partner's infidelity, and another laments how an addicted child stole from her pocketbook. These are painful betrayals. Where do we find the hope to carry on? Jesus assures us that even if we are hated or feel as if we're being put to death, not a hair of our heads will perish. How can we translate that message to hurting people? Jesus suggests we endure. What does that look like? My best guess is to set a healthy routine and see a physician. Add to the mix a therapist or trusted friend who will listen without judgment. Find support from the legal system if needed. Set short-term goals that are achievable. And above all, pray without ceasing for God's will to be done. And now I'll read the full passage for this day from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, verses 5 through 19. When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, he said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." They asked him, "Teacher, when will this be? And what will be the sign that this is about to take place?" And he said, "Beware that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and the time is near. Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and plagues, and there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance. For I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls." And the moving forward question for this Saturday is, have you experienced betrayal? And if so, what did you do? And the commentary for Sunday, December 4th, begins with Matthew chapter 3, verses 7 through 10. "But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, 'You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, "We have Abraham as our ancestor," for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." John the Baptist was a charismatic preacher, but I think his rhetoric is harsh. Most of us who preach would never talk like this to the faithful, and this type of preaching would prompt most people to seek a clergy resignation. But John is not out to win friends, just followers. John the Baptist says if we think our status, our heritage, or our faithful piety is what saves us, we're wrong. Instead, it is how we live our lives, the fruit we bear, and the humble admission of our failings and shortcomings that strengthens our lifelong relationship with God. Every time we pray the words, "Save us from the time of trial," I will remember John's advice. Now is the time to bear good fruit. And I'll read the full scripture passage for this day from Matthew 3, verses 1 through 12. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor,' for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees, and every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." And the moving forward question for today, how do you look fear-filled times right in the eye? And that is all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us much better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thank you for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.